You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Monday edition of the Locked On Injuries Podcast. Just kidding. Locked On Pacers Podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, and we will talk about all their injuries today. As always, I'm one host of the show, Tony Eats, covering the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. On the other line with me, my lovely co-host, Adam Friedman. Adam, are you injured? Do you have any sore parts of your body at this point in time?
What did I have the other day? I had this continual, sorry, it's Marina behind me whispering questions I haven't heard before. Continuous ankle problem that turned into a toe, above my foot, then my calf. It's a right leg problem that occasionally leads to me kind of like limping around sometimes.
So, Adam is out for the next 6 weeks.
Well, I'm not out. It's a nuisance. I'm playing 80% for sure.
I've never seen a stretch like this of injuries Scott Agnes was talking to me about this before and their game against the Bucks, and he nailed it. Like, I feel so bad for Nate McMillan because every time, like twice a day, Nate McMillan has to go in front of reporters and say the same thing over and over. Jeremy Lamb is out. Miles Turner is in. Malcolm Brogdon is out. Malcolm Brogdon didn't practice today. This guy did that. It's like, holy cow, it's nauseating. We're not even talking about basketball because everyone is so hurt. It's insane.
So I know this isn't – I mean, look around the league right now. Not just a Pacers.
Everyone's hurt.
It feels like half the league is hurt.
Look at the Pelicans. They're worse off than the Pacers.
Well, I just can play fantasy basketball. Like, I have an entire bench guy that just hurt players who are good players who are hurt. I mean, I like Gordon Hayward on my bench, Zion Williamson on my bench, and Caris LeVert, for example. Like, three guys who wouldn't in probably any world would be a starting player in fantasy, but you can't play because they're all hurt. I mean, around the league, it feels like everybody is banged up in some way. I mean, you get Gordon Hayward breaking his hand the other day. Teams that have guys already out for the whole year, like the Warriors or the Nets.
Here's one. The Warriors and Pelicans, Adam, are playing right now. There's a minute left in that game. They combined have 17 active players. That's how many it takes to have an NBA roster is 17. Like, everyone is hurt for those two teams.
Yeah, I mean, even on Friday night, you saw Clint Capella for the Rockets didn't play. I mean, you just have around the league, they're good, not just players, but like good players who make a contribution on almost every team not playing. And it's kind of screwing with the league. I don't know if it's because they started earlier and it's load management or whatever, but it does feel like more players are hurt than like ever.
It's bizarre. This isn't a sob story that other teams are hurt more than the Pacers. You're right. There's a ton of injuries.
Well, the Pacers also have like four of their top six guys.
Theirs are starters is what the deal is. But it's so hard. Like, I was so pumped for these weekend games because sweet, we can finally, I think, properly evaluate the Pacers. Let's see what they do against a good team. And they had 9 minutes of moderate health before Brogdon's back injury.
If you call moderate health being down two starters, sixth man and Sumner, and
it's just insane. Like, every turn, and then McConnell all of a sudden's on the plane. He's like, "Oh, well, I'm also." It's like, my gosh, you can't get a break. And then Nazmith Trelong and Brian Bowen play a game in Maine, have to Uber 100 miles to Boston to fly to Indy so they can play because so many guys are hurt. It's like, holy moly, it's just every turn and break is just insane.
Can I just read the injury list real quick? Just
go ahead.
So, I mean, I'm on Roto World. This is the most recent one. So you got Sabonis, who's got a hip injury, and he's day-to-day. That's probably the same thing he had before. Didn't he have a hip?
Yeah, he re-banged it up against the Bucks.
Yeah. So then you got McConnell with a groin. He's also day-to-day. Brogdon with the back, day-to-day, and who knows? I mean, there's not been a ton of information about that.
Yeah, he wouldn't even add the game against the Bucks. That was weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, does he have a back injury history real fast?
I have no idea.
I think it's foot. It's always been a foot thing.
It's his foot. That's what I thought, too.
Right. So then you got Jeremy Lamb, ankle day-to-day, but he's been out for the better part of, 2 weeks now, give or take?
Yep.
You got Sumner, who's got a hand is when he out at least through pretty much the rest of November. I mean, they said it's like a late November target, but...
The end of the month, yep.
Yeah, end of the month, early December. And then you got Oladipo, who obviously knee surgery, maybe December target, maybe January. And then on top of that, you got Turner, who just came back healthy, but had an ankle injury. Goga had a concussion. I mean, am I missing anything else now? I'm trying to think of anybody else.
No, you got the two that are back now with Goga and Turner. I just pulled up Brogdon's history. Shout out to Fox Sports for keeping track of every injury a player has. This is his first back injury.
I don't know if it's spasms or what. I mean, there's really been no information on it, right? I mean, they've been kind of...
He was sore and it got banged up in the game or something, but... It's so hard for me to just evaluate basic things about the team because no one is playing. Like, we spent all summer You're talking about TJ Warren, like, oh, he hasn't played over 60 whatever games in forever, and he's the only guy who's played every game for this team.
He's been very healthy. He's been.
I mean, he has been very healthy.
He's had a couple of bad games. He's not shooting game three, but overall, he's been really good. I mean,
yeah, he's been probably the best.
Him just being out there has just been good for the team, to be honest. Having a guy who can play 30 minutes and score points.
Yeah, it's just crazy, right? Like, there are four guys who weren't Doug McDermott off the bench against the Bucks were Naz Mitrulong, TJ Leaf, Jakar Sampson, and Goga. I love Jakar Sampson, but, like, obviously I know he's still a role player. And the other three guys are so young and inexperienced. Like, they especially against the Bucks, who are amazing and on a back-to-back, they just had no chance in the game. Like,
so
it's literally the Patriots JV team. And it's so hard. Like, another part of this, I was talking to Jay Rigdon about this, is, like, so now all these guys are hurt, and guys who aren't used to extending themselves to this many minutes are playing a ton of minutes, and that might – be contributing to them getting hurt. It's just a snowball that they cannot get out of right now.
Well, yeah, that's sort of when one guy gets hurt, it forces another guy to step up, which then makes him play more than he usually plays, adding hurt will make him right. Hurt. It's like the domino effect with injuries. I mean, that's in almost any sport.
Gap this week in games is huge.
Yeah. So you want to – here's another crazy stat. So the Pacers have 12 guys averaging over 17 minutes per game. I mean, I know that's like you got Sumner who's only played three games, Lamb who's played five, Turner's played five, but like the fact that you have that many players who have – averaged whatever 15 plus minutes per game just is insane. I mean, they've got like 10 over 20 pretty much.
I might have this number wrong, but 12 games, I think they've had six or seven different starting lineups too, which is nuts.
That sounds right. I mean,
it's either six or seven. I know one of those two numbers is right.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second. I do think this is kind of a blessing in disguise in a way.
Yeah, because you get to see a lot. Well, it's funny. I joked with Mark Montes before the Bucks game. Like all summer, we talked about it and we thought about it like, how the hell are they going to play all these guys? Well, this is how.
Well, I also think part of it is until Vic comes back, this team really isn't anything that we can evaluate. I mean, you can kind of evaluate it, but really this team is not its true self until Vic returns, whether everybody's healthy or not.
Right.
What it allows you right now is to sort of just like plug and play a lot of players.
Evaluate.
As long as you're winning enough games, it doesn't really matter. And then assuming when Vic returns, everybody's healthy. I mean, I don't think they're going to be playing the whole year. It feels like they're going to have some injuries at all points. I mean, somebody will be
– right.
We heard at some point maybe they get healthy to the playoff time, but right now they won't be. But at least it allows you to sort of like have the excuse of like you just sort of like are just trying to win games, and then you kind of can figure out your team later. And then that way too, you can kind of experiment right now,
right?
Maybe in certain instances where how players succeed in certain moments, and then really build some lineups that like you think can work in a playoff moment.
Yeah, I do think you're right about the fact that it is a lot of experimenting now and evaluating, you know, who works with who, who's good and who's not.
I
want to give Nate credit because we dump on him a lot for not being creative with lineups. But, I mean, he's kind of had to be. But he's still done a good job of mixing and matching over the stretch, you know, with McDermott closing halves and a different guy opening halves. You know, I just think he's done a better job than normal for him of mixing and matching guys to get the right lineups out there.
I mean, I think there's two things that wouldn't have happened without all the injuries. One, we know McConnell and McDermott have this kind of chemistry without the injury. No, right? Probably not. And two, I think the other one is McDermott is having kind of step up and be sort of like an eight-shot-a-game kind of guy, which is – nor where he's been in his career, right? Usually he's like more in the six range, right?
Yep.
So more means it's like kind of six. But he's sort of proving that he can handle that workload and, you know, honestly, one of the kind of most efficient.
Wait, you mean a guy who's a good shooter should shoot more?
Well, yes, but I think he's trying to prove it. Really, I think he's produced a little more than just like standing in the corner. Three, he's making the hockey assist at times, which is really helpful. Right. He's had three rebounds per game.
This is the second most shots per game he's had on a team at any point in the season. The only time he had more was with the Bulls, per minute, I believe this is the most he's getting in his
career. Yeah, this is the most threes taken per game, too, in the high potential shots.
Yes, this is the most shots and threes per minute he's taken in his career of playing time. So, yeah, they're actively getting him more involved. And he's doing a good job. I'm giving him a lot of credit. You're right. That's another thing they found in these injuries is like, oh, hey, Doug can do well with a lot of guys. Cool.
It's starting to feel like, you know, the bar I set for him is like, does he feel like Kyle Korver out there where you're like, and he gets the ball, you're just kind of afraid, right?
Yeah, he's hitting 42% of four a game. I'm a little afraid.
Yeah, but like that's like kind of the bar, right? And last year, I don't know if he reached that bar. I think he was good last year, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he was like, oh, they're going to find him three or four threes a game and he's going to make 40+% of them. But now it feels like he's at that point where like, he's just a scary offensive player on the court where, like, anytime he's moving, the defenses are, like, scrambling. If they're not scrambling, then he's going to get a good shot off.
He's dribbling. He's, like, not a lot. I mean, obviously he needs to get, like, a half-step advantage to do it. But, like, he comes around these curls and he takes one dribble and shoots in the lane. It's like, wow. This new Doug who's taking twos and breaking down the defense with dribbles. It's been very impressive. And he's like not even hitting his twos. If those start falling at the rate they did last year, he'll have a very efficient stat line.
Yeah, and I think the other person I would look at for those injuries who stepped up, and I mean, we talked about it for a second, but kind of the way TJ Warren has played too. I know he didn't have a great game against the Bucks.
No one did. You know, say what you said to me before the show about the Bucks game.
Oh, I said I didn't count it for anything. I literally just was like, watching it, and I'm like, if they win, great. If they don't win, I don't give a crap.
Yeah, the Rockets game, they had enough health and played well enough that I'm like, okay, yeah, I will evaluate. Yeah,
the Rockets game, I mean, they lost to – I mean, they played the best player in the league back-to-back nights, and they didn't get shocked.
Yeah, the Bucks, they had no rotation. Turner was returning. Sabonis got hurt. Like, I'm not ever going to use that game as a jumping-off point for analysis. There was some stuff that happened in the Rockets game that I will use.
And you can't tell me that if they didn't have Brogdon the whole Rockets game, they couldn't have won because he would have had to
be able
to
absolutely.
And May Harden missed maybe one or two more would have been enough to kind of win the game.
Oh, yeah, they were in it the whole way. They were, weren't they, like, winning with, like, 2 seconds left in the third? Like, they were in it.
They were up early fourth, and Harden played, I think, the last 10 minutes.
Like, yeah, Harden
had to play 40 minutes.
Harden played the whole fourth quarter.
Okay, he did. Okay, I couldn't remember what the fourth
quarter. So
he had to play 40 minutes to win this game, and that's not usually
that's great. They did an okay job on him. I don't think they did a good job on him.
No. I mean, well, it's hard when you have Justin Holliday out there guarding him, and Holliday's just like
touché.
I mean, Holliday's a fine defender, don't get me wrong, but like
I think you're right. That game was promising to me, like just given who was out, that they hung in there, especially with Brogdon missing again. The Bucks game, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You just like Aaron and Justin started. They will probably unless Brogdon and McConnell both out again, which I don't think they will be, but I don't know. I don't think we'll ever see that pair start the rest of the season. Like, there's just ridiculous lineups happen this game.
Yeah. I mean, so the thing with Warren, I know Warren is bad the last two games, but I mean, I think he has stepped up in a role where they just need somebody to score points, and that's where he's been, I guess. Maybe the right way to put it, right?
Did I say this to you last week? I don't remember. I haven't said it yet. But anyway, Ben Gibson in the summer in our group chat for the Fieldhouse said something like, with McMillan, I'd rather have guys who are naturally offensive gifted than defense because McMillan makes guys good defenders, but guys who are already good at offense can still do their own thing. And I think Warren is like proving that to a T as like a valid statement, a good statement, because, you know, he's getting better on D. Kalen wrote about it. We've seen good stuff from him on that end of the floor. And his offense kind of fits what McMillan wants. He can get his own shot in the mid-range, and he's good enough at it that you're comfortable with him taking it. His three is helpful.
Okay. His third quarter against Oklahoma City Thunder was insane.
Insane, yeah. Like, that runner he takes from 10 to 15 feet, it's like a layup for him. He's insanely good at it. I know that Pacers.com just had a great article about it. He's been playing so well, and I think he deserves a lot of credit. He can create off the dribble, and after a dismal start from three, has been hitting them ever since. So he's been.
Yeah, his 3-point percentage will come back up eventually to the 30s.
So he started. He didn't make his second three till the sixth game, which is insane.
I think that will kind of even out. I mean, it might still be in the low 30s, but it means that if he gets up to like 33, it means he's shooting 40%.
So since the end of the first five games, he's at 37%.
I think that's the number that we thought he could. If he's at that number, he's
about solid. We thought. The first five games, he was a train wreck. He only hit one of whatever, like 15 or 10 or something. Since then, he's been pretty good. Yeah, he had 8.3 in his first five games.
So, I mean, but like when you look at his shot, so he's shooting 58% from 10 to 16 feet. I mean, that's insane.
That's probably unsustainable by a little bit, but still very good.
Yeah, and then he's shooting like 70% from inside three. That's that's the highest on the
team. He's always been good at the basket.
Like literally the players above him are Goga and Jakar, Alizé and Sumner.
And every shot Jakar takes is a dunk.
Yeah, so I mean, Warren contested shots in the lane and hitting them. I mean, that's what.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something when I watched him this summer that I was like, wow, this dude at the basket is a nuts good finisher. And 70% is his third best of his career. 70%. That's better than Sabonis last year. He's insane.
I will say, I mean, with all the injuries, it does feel like, too, the Pacers, which I didn't think they had before the year started, but they are actually running like multiple offensive plays, and they seem like they're trying.
Their last year, people are just not good at noticing.
Well, it might be just talent. A lot of it is.
Their
talent is much better this year offensively, but like it does feel like they're making a concerted effort to get McDermott the ball, which I didn't feel like they're doing that last year a lot, or maybe the guys are missing the passes or whatnot. And it feels like there's just a lot of like.
I know that's true about McDermott.
Yeah, I mean, and then I guess the backdoor shot is always there for Thad, but it feels like it's more efficient because like TJ Warren can make it at like 70%. But you know what I mean? It feels like they're just running a lot of off-ball things that I feel like they didn't do a lot last year.
There's something else I talked about this summer that's been happening that I like, too, is like the shot clock is at whatever, 7, right? Their play didn't work. Like, you throw it to Warren, I'm like, okay, good. He might score. Like, they did not have that when Vic was out last year. I know we talked about Boyan a lot. He was okay, but Warren is clearly better in that situation than anyone they had last year.
Did Boyan hit that game-winning three this week or that last week?
He did. Boyan did it. That was awesome. Good for him.
Was that like right after record on Sunday?
And they missed him with the water dump. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw
him. They ran out with a Gatorade cooler to dump on him, and they completely missed. It just got all over the court.
I mean, I think there's a case you could say the Pacers missed Boyan, but I think you would take Lamb and Warren for Boyan any day.
The two guys. Yeah. I can't wait to see more Lamb because he's done some impressive stuff and had a few bad games. So I want to get more of a feel of what he can bring. And he's never been hurt in his career before. What a fluke for him.
Yeah. He started the year hurt. I think they're honestly right now, I feel like they're holding him out to 100% healthy. Cause like he's playing through a little bit. It's like, just let's get healthy and then worry about it.
Yeah. So he played 79-80 games the two seasons before this. So he's very clearly a guy who does not get hurt very often.
What did I say? Injury was again? Is it hip? Right? It's hip with him. No, it's ankle this time.
No, he's got
it. Or it was hip.
Sabonis has got the hip right now. He got drilled. Wesley Matthews saved him from falling right on it again. That play was crazy.
The former teammate helped him out. And wow. That's what I was sad about. We did not get the Malcolm Brogdon revenge.
Brogdon revenge game. Yeah, we got the quotes about it. Didn't get the game, which is unfortunate. But
well, they play him three more times, so hopefully he'll be there for one of those games at least.
Yeah, that's another trouble, and maybe by the time you're listening, this has been released, but there was no injury report on Sunday because they didn't practice and they're traveling and stuff. So I have no idea where all these day-to-day guys are. Like, I don't know if Brogdon's improving or McConnell or anything like that.
I mean, Lance's been day-to-day for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, like a week now. Yeah, he's been like declared out pretty early the last couple of games. I thought Miles wasn't going to play against the Bucks. He got declared out so early before the Rockets game.
But Lamb got hurt 11 days ago is what the Rotor World is saying. Okay. So,
speaking of Miles, you want to take a break, talk about him returning and some other stuff?
Yeah.
The return of the Locked On Pacers Sabonis Turner discussions.
Well, you've been shying away from them for the better part.
Oh, no, I'm not saying we're going to start with them. But, yeah, they'll come back now because everybody – tell me my mentions. Oh, what happens when Turner comes back and the Sabonis plays? I don't know.
Everybody calm the fuck down.
Let's figure it out. Turner led the team in points, defensive rebounds, and blocks in his return. Played pretty good.
Yeah.
Give him a lot of credit.
100%.
Yeah, this is the guy that you all were so anxious to trade away. I'm being annoying. I get so tired of my Twitter mentions regarding Miles Turner. Like,
that my girlfriend is in love with Miles Turner. So anything I say bad, I might be sleeping on the couch tonight if I say anything too awful. But
yeah, he played well. He had over 40% of his threes. Some crazy nice blocks. A quality Miles Turner game. 16, 11, and 4 blocks. That's what he does.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you have everybody healthy in the whole defense, right? He becomes a guy who can be a benefit when playing Giannis. Because you can kind of play up closer on Giannis when he gets inside like the 15-foot range because you have the backup of Turner.
Yeah, exactly. Your system of shoving guys to the middle is built around him being awesome.
Yes.
And, so yeah, I don't want to do Sabonis versus Turner right now, but I will. I do want to say, Nolan Smith DM'd me about this. Shout out to Nolan Smith for leading me the right way when I talk about this. It's so interesting that people like want it to be one or the other, like a pit against each other right now, because we always talk about, like, I think the word we both put behind it, I did this a ton in the summer, is the Turner Sabonis experiment. You know, it's an experiment. We have hardly data this year of the experiment. Like, it's not over. You don't have to trade one of them yet. We have to see how it works, and we still need to see them play together before anything happens. And I'm excited that he's back and played well in their first game back.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing this last time, but Sabonis' stats without Turner are like
very good.
Borderline eye dropping of like this, like I'm gonna.
Oh, he's been better this year. If you are comparing them 1-to-1, he's been better this year.
So what? Turner's missed. So what's it was like he's five
the first. Three games and then played 2 seconds against the Nets and then returned against.
Okay, so if I go back,
he's really played 4 games.
So Sabonis played 6 games without Turner, and in those 6 games, he's 17.5 and 15.5. I think the team. I mean, they didn't play anybody good. So what's
no? They played junk.
Sabonis' field goal percentage is not great. I mean, we're talking low under 50% for a guy who should be shooting above 50 at least because he's shooting a lot of close shots. But. Yeah, I mean, 4 free throws a game is not bad for, I mean, it should
because,
be better.
It was
eye-dropping rebounds, let's put it that way.
Yeah, he was getting a ton of rebounds. He was the only guy who could do it. I mean, they're starting Warren and whoever next, like Leaf and Jakar next to him.
Yeah, but it did prove that Sabonis might be better off being near the basket when they're not away from the play. And
Turner has gotten better at recovering. Me and Jared Wade were talking about that on Twitter a few days ago. Like that block, his block on Robin Lopez. Robin Lopez just destroyed him with this spin move. And all of a sudden, Robin Lopez has him by almost a full step. And Turner just took a ginormous recovery drop step and just swatted his shot into the ground.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot better at that kind of stuff.
Turner's rim protection is just
unbelievable.
I mean, it's next level. So in the 112 minutes we've gotten, I was taking forever to get there. of Turner and Sabonis, they have about a neutral net rating.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, so it's still an experiment, and I think it's fair to talk about if it fails, maybe something happens. But like, I think if you're talking about it now, you already decided what you think is going to happen, and I think that's like some of the evidence suggests. Yeah, probably won't be good. But there's no way that I can say, hey, that we just talked about injuries for what, like 20 minutes. Like, I have no evaluation point yet, like to make these ginormous reactions of like, what if this happens? What if this? I don't know. Let's wait and see.
So it's all about opportunity cost. There's like three things that kind of play into this. So one is, are you losing the opportunity if Sabonis at center or Turner kind of, I guess Turner is playing center. So you're really missing that opportunity. Is that better for the team overall? Like, would you get more out of that? Two is, who is the backup center, and would you be better off kind of separating them, playing more staggered minutes because you can get more out of Sabonis at the center off the bench or whatever, turn on the bench. And the third one too is, who is out there that gets you a better result at, like, let's say if you replace one of them for a four, right? That's the idea. Like, are there any power forward there that are really going to be so good that it kind of is worth it, right? And you can make the salary and whatnot. And I think that third one is where it's like, is there really anybody better than Sabonis is, even if he's 80% of the player he is supposed to be? Because an 80% Sabonis is probably still a starter in the league for almost every team.
Yeah, it's tough, and I think we just need to see more of who fits with who, how these guys fit together. I think the stagger is an interesting thing to pursue, too. I don't think anything is decided even on this season. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to decide.
No, and yeah, I mean, I think you need to see it all together with everybody, at least with your five starters.
Like, we can both admit, Sabonis played horrible against the Bucks, right?
Sabonis was kind of not great against the Rockets either. I know he had a good stat line, but
he had some terrible defensive moments in that game.
And he had some moments where he made some just stupid passes. I mean, yeah. He forced a lot of balls and wasn't paying attention and wasn't really focused. I don't want to, like, because he played really well the previous four games, but I feel like he had a really bad weekend, let's put it that
way. But you're right to say, but you know, it's two data points. It's a very low amount of games, but like, you're right to say, hey, Sabonis didn't do good against good teams. You're also right to say Sabonis didn't do good next to Turner. You're also right to say he did amazing without Turner. So the reason that this whole discussion is going to happen for forever is because we just don't know. We just don't know. And there's no point of saying, what if this happens? Who should we trade? Well, let's see what happens before we talk about if.
Well, remember, we're in a league too where there aren't a lot of good power forwards. I'm not sure any of the best 30 players play power forward.
Yeah, that too.
Jim, I mean, you think about it, on every All-NBA lineup,
if you count Anthony Davis, like maybe, but whatever.
I know. I mean, he should be playing center. Are you kidding me?
No, I think Giannis is the one guy that you'd say he's a four.
Is he, though? Is he a three? Is he a five? I mean,
I think he can play any position.
That's the problem is those guys are like so positionless and so good that they almost exceed positions in a way. Like, same way with LeBron, right? What is LeBron? Is he a two? Is he a one? Is he a three?
They're a ball handler.
Yeah, I mean, most of the
Hang on, I'm scrolling through the top 40. Well, do you count Siakam in that ball handling group?
Yeah, I mean, Siakam.
All right, so the best raw four is Blake Griffin. Where do you put him?
Okay, that's fair, but I'm not sure. Would you rather have Blake Griffin or Sabonis?
Come on.
Yeah. Well,
it's Blake Griffin, duh.
Well, no, but think about it. Salary number. Blake Griffin's making 30, what, $5 million a year?
Yeah, he's a max player. He made All NBA last year.
Yes, but and also the injury history. That's right. Injury history is where I get at it, and I don't know whether you how much.
Blake is amazing.
I agree. Blake's a good player when he's healthy, but if he's playing 40 games a year, I may not have Sabonis is going to play 75. That's my only thing.
Well, yeah, 30 games is a different story.
It's both making half of what he makes. Sabonis is making half of the salary, and I think you're better off putting the extra difference into like a Brogdon who you're able to do and stuff like that. That's also part of it.
Yeah, All NBA. The diminishing returns when you get to All NBA level are nuts. I think Blake is awesome. Anyway,
no, I agree with you. I think I there's some concerns, and then the other one I say is Tobias Harris, right? He probably falls.
Yeah, somewhere. I'm looking at the NBA rank. Blake was at 23, and Tobias was at 28. Although Tobias has not been good this year,
and Tobias picks more than Blake Griffin, right, or close to it.
Yeah, they had to pay him to keep him. Man, he's missed like 23 threes in a row or something insane.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm not sure there's that like mythical four there that makes perfect sense. Now, if you want to say you want to go really small and make that work, and
make war of the four, then you can think about stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I get like pretty
much. We're too early.
Yeah, every small forward in League Two can probably play the four. I mean, from Paul George to Kawhi Leonard to Siakam, they're all kind of hybrid 3-4s. Anyways, even somewhere to like one, they're all hybrid players. They play any position almost at center.
Oh, but, editor's correction. Tobias Harris had missed his last 23 threes before hitting three against the Thunder 2 nights ago.
See, this is why we should get a producer who just like, there's something to do at the end of every episode. They do.
I never think we're going to talk about Tobias Harris. I can't look up his stats ahead of time.
You're fine. I'm just messing
with you. I'm embarrassed.
I'm sure I make a lot of like, I'm probably off on like some stats, or I'm like, I mix one stat for another. I'm sure I mess things up.
We just spent this whole time talking, so I could say, let's just pump the damn brakes and like watch these two guys do their thing.
Yeah, and they don't have Brogdon. They're kind of also
screwed. Yeah, they don't have any passing at all. Their point guard in their only game back together, Aaron Holiday, had a gaudy 18 shot attempts and didn't initiate any offense. So,
so I mean, can we
– Holiday finally picked it up, and then just what was that game?
Are we sure Aaron Holiday – I mean, this is a Bill Simmons thing, but are we sure Aaron Holiday is good?
Like, I'm really you have to sure. say it like that. This has been a good year for scoring guards. Scoring guards are in right now.
No, but I'm serious. Like, I watch Aaron Holiday, and sometimes I think, why are you shooting? You're not the best player on the court, and you're not even trying to find somebody open. But then he makes enough time, I'm like, okay, I mean, sometimes when he's hot, he's kind of nice to have.
I get so torn like on him.
I feel like he doesn't initiate offense.
Because his bad games are just brutal because he doesn't stop shooting, you know?
Right? It feels like
but his good games are good. So it's like,
So this was the most frustrating sequence, and maybe I'm mixing this up right. This would be about a fat check, would be perfect. But there was a sequence in the Thunder game. The start of the third quarter, T.J. Warren is just not missing. It's like, just keep giving the ball and let him figure out how to score. Whoever was guarding him could not guard him. It was not working. And in the middle of warming four straight shots, somewhere along the line, Aaron Holiday says, I'm going to shoot a 15-footer off a screen. When Warren is like open and they're trying to feed him the ball and he just decides to shoot it, it's like, why? Like it's like, can you just like be okay with other guys succeeding offensively and maybe just be a cog in it instead of having to like be the guy to take 18 shots against the Bucks or whatever? Like, I don't know. It feels like he thinks he's going to be this great offensive player when like he needs to accept his role is probably going to be at best kind of the bench sixth man, maybe a borderline starting kind of two guard. But like he's not right now, at least. Maybe in the future can be great, better than that. But for now, it's kind of the role they need him to play, and he doesn't seem to want to play at times.
I want to give him credit before I do my
trash him like I just did.
Well, no, his defense has been good this year.
Yes, fair.
It much better than last year. Like, substantial. Rookie point guard, well defender, sophomore point guard, he's been better. Okay, two, his games when he's on, again, like I just said, he's very good. And I think four young players who are figuring it out, you need them to have these growing pain games where they just
fair.
A disaster, right? That's how you get better. But you gotta have a limit, man. Like, you're absolutely right. 5 for 18. That's so many. Nothing was working against the Bucks.
Go back to the Houston game. 2 for 7 from three. Like, at some point, you got to stop shooting.
Stop. He had so many games early in the season. Like, the six shot attempts game and 6 minutes game that ultimately, like, I don't think he should have been yanked from the rotation. I think that was extreme. But, like, come on, man. There's a line, and he just crosses it a lot. But, I you got to give him his credit for his defense. When he's on, he's really good. He's been passing a little bit better this year. And he's still good. He's still got the Aaron Holiday stuff that, like, makes people, you know, call me an idiot for not thinking he'd be good after the draft. He's got some skills, clearly, that I was wrong about, but he just has too many of these games where I'm like, man, just relax a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
so much better.
So you take his last, I think, let's go 6 games. I mean, pulls up. Yeah, his last 6 games, like, it's not terrible. I mean, he's
very good.
10 shots per game, 30 minutes, has 12.5 points. 3.8 assists, more like 5 because he's playing that kind of minutes. And he's shooting 43 and 38 overall. 5 threes a game almost. I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you want. That's kind of the styling you want. But then when you see him taking 18 shots or when he just has a night where he can't make a three, I mean, it feels like this team, and maybe it's because they haven't had a lot of healthy players, but you need one of the veterans to be like, dude, you're the second-year player on our team. You're not taking that many threes a game. I'm sorry. It's not how this works. Like, if you're going to shoot that much, you're going to sit your ass on the bench. I mean, that's what they need. And it's almost like kind of like, they want him to be integrated so much. They're like, oh well, maybe we should let him kind of shoot as much and kind of not tell back, like kind of give him the like talk, whatever. But it's like at some point, it's like, dude, you're the 7th, 8th guy off the team.
I also struggle in my own brain finding the right number because I want him to shoot through slumps and like learn about improvement and shot selection because he's young, but at the same time, he's doing, you know, there's a number less than 18 and more than 10 that I would be comfortable with.
I think when he gets to playing like 20, let's say 23, 25 minutes, 10 is the right number, to be honest.
Yeah, 10 to 12. That's what I think too, but I have yet to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I mean, about this segment has gone on for a very long time.
Yeah, I know.
So our week preview is going to be very short, so it's okay, but we've been rambling about a lot of guys here.
Well, we've had a week. It's been a long week for the Pacers. They had a lot of.
Yes. We're both off our game, too. We're injured, right? We got sore, sore gallbladder.
Oh, what do you have complaining with you? What have you heard about?
I have a stuffy nose. Didn't sleep very good last night. I don't know. I'm fine.
Well, that's because you probably went out.
I did not go out last night, actually.
Oh. Sorry to hear that. Oh, that's right. You're at the game.
At the game, man. Come on. But yeah, we should talk about the two games this week, even though they'll be easy to preview because they've already played both teams and there's only two games. But if you're ready, we can do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the Pacers have three objectives this week, Adam. One is beat the Nets. Two is rest your ass off for 5 days. And then three is beat the Magic. This gap could not have come at a better time for this
team. I expect to see every player at a spa. Every player doing yoga for 5 days, and then some light cardio or whatever.
Yeah, if they get 2 days, like usually they get 1 day off for travel days and stuff. If they get 2 days off, I think that's fine. Like they need something. It's been unbelievable, these injuries. But they played the Nets the first time. They already beat the Nets once. Turner was got banged up in that game. They did have Lamb though, but things went well for them. So hopefully they'll try to repeat that performance again.
Go ahead. Real quick on the schedule, it does feel like the first, it's 4 weeks of the season, they really try to shove in a lot of games. But seem, you know what I mean?
Don't they lead the league in games played? I might be wrong about that, but I want to look.
I don't want to look up standings. Hold on. It felt like they had a lot of games played those first. Yeah, they do. I mean, they're tied with a bunch of teams, but yeah. At 13. Yeah, 13. And if like the whole point of having a longer season is to have more rest time. So now we're going to start seeing some, like, they're not playing every other day. Maybe a two-day break and stuff like that. But, like, you want more of these mini buys, kind of, because it is kind of a buy. It's 5 days off almost. I mean, that's kind of
nobody's played more than 13. Yeah, they do have tied for the most. So last night they probably had the most before all these games today.
Yeah, probably. So
big time for a gap.
Speaking of the injury bug, I mean, it's also kind of caught the Nets, who's three best players hurt.
Yeah, Kyrie just sat out, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a shoulder injury. I don't know if he's going to play or not Monday. There's no really information on it.
Oh, they have a back-to-back. Wow, the poor Nets here. Oh, no, they don't. I'm sorry.
So, like the Pacers, I'm assuming they didn't have a practice today. The Nets did, so there's no information on whether he's going to play or not. But
yeah, Caris LeVert's out for them for a while now, though. He played the last time.
And Durant's out, obviously.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well,
that's the three best players.
Kind of skip over that one. Yeah, the Nets are pretty banged up, too. But, you know, with LeVert out now, Dinwiddie's playing a little more, and he's been shooting a little too much for my liking this year, like Aaron Holiday. His defense is very good. That kind of helps the Pacers, depending on who's healthy for them. But
yeah, I would say if every guy in the report misses the game, they might still be screwed. But
yeah, no kidding.
It might be even if Kyrie misses and everybody else misses too.
The Nets game was the first game the Pacers bench finally came alive, and I think it's because the Nets bench isn't very – I mean, it wasn't awesome, but, like, Holiday did okay – McConnell did okay. Goga debuted and did okay. Justin Holiday had his best game of the year with everything but scoring. Like,
I think it was more a desperation moment for the Pacers where they were lost the first three. It's like you can't start 0-4, then you're screwed. And it was kind of like, okay, we really need to win this game. They played Sabonis 36 minutes.
Well, I just remember from that game, like, they went on run, even though the reserve guys specifically weren't the ones actually scoring points. Like, they had Sabonis in the reserves that went on a run. Like, they contributed stuff. And that's because you interrupted, but you were right. My point was going to be the Nets bench sucks a lot.
Yes.
And that is why they are not as good as people thought they would be. They
So here's who they played last time on their bench. DeAndre Jordan, Pinson, Bad. Claxton, Shumpert, and is it Musa?
They just signed Shumpert. Yeah, John and Musa.
Yeah. So yeah, that's their bench. Not a single one of those guys – scares me in any way, and maybe should even be in the league.
Yeah, they are not very deep. They were already like not super deep, and these injuries are not helping. So yeah, the Nets are, because they have Kyrie freaking Irving. Like, yeah, they can be really good and win any game. But yeah, I think the Pacers match up okay with this team if they get just one guy back off the injury report. They have enough to win this game.
Yeah, and especially if Kyrie's in play, they should.
Kyrie will not be playing. Kyrie is out.
No, Kyrie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Karras.
I do know Karras is out because Karras is on my fantasy team and he's on my bench. Listen to the podcast. I did that earlier.
Karras, I'm like, yeah, he's out for first. Kyrie shot well the first time he's played. Didn't matter. Pacers were good.
Fast. Should we do the numbers in the Nets? We didn't do that.
I completely skipped it.
I've got him up if you want me to do them.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
They have offensive rating of 11th in the league. Defensive rating of 20th. They are third in pace.
They fly,
and they are the fifth highest scoring team in the league, and they allow 119 points
per game. Pace is why they score so much,
though. Ranks 27th.
Pace is also why they allow so much. Gotta calculate that one in there.
Yeah, it looks like they have the worst turnover percentage in terms of like on defense. Ooh. That means teams don't do good at forcing turnovers at basically 10% of all plays end up being a turnover. So,
yeah, they do not turn it over very often.
No, I think
they're not forcing turnovers very often.
Yeah, not forcing turnovers. I think the Pacers percentage, which probably isn't great. Well, defensively, it's probably not the worst.
The Pacers?
Yeah, their turnover. I mean,
they're forcing a lot of turnovers.
The Pacers on the other side force like 14% of their.
Yeah, they're 10th in the league in turnover.
So that's the flip side of that. But the Pacers also are one of the best teams in not turning over the ball, too. They're fifth in turnovers.
Yeah, that'll help slow the game down a little bit against the likes to run Nets. Although most of their pace being high is just they have a lot of guys who shoot early in the clock. I mean, Joe Harris, like, if he gets a sliver of space, will just gun it.
Yeah, and so I guess when you move to, like, it's like Kyrie doesn't play, who becomes kind of the butcher?
But Dinwiddie's the only option to me. I mean, Joe Harris can go off, but like they have no creation for him anymore. Karras is out. If Kyrie's out too, the only guy who can generate a shot for your whole team is Spencer Dinwiddie.
What about Torian Prince?
Torian Prince cannot create a shot. Torian Prince is a finisher. He can finish plays if he's open and someone passes him the ball. He's not going to dribble like ever.
That's true. We look at this team. It's pretty much like,
if they have no Kyrie, they have I would favor the Pacers by like 5 to 10.
This is what they call it's Kyrie's James Harden season.
his tour de force or whatever they're calling it in Houston. Yeah. Yeah, Dinwiddie and Kyrie are the guys I would pick that aren't Joe Harris anyway. So if Kyrie's out, it's just Joe Harris and Dinwiddie are my butcher options. Yeah, like DeAndre stunk. He was so bad the first time these two teams played. And the rest of the guys are just like finishers who are okay right now.
I mean, Kyrie's on pace for his most points per game ever.
Good for him, man. I love Kyrie. He's been balling. But they need him to play very well to win.
Yeah.
Anyone besides Dinwiddie or Joe Harris?
No, I'm literally going through the roster. I went player by player, and I'm like, Gianna Jordan has played okay. I mean, I don't know.
No.
He had
a lot of rebounds does not equal playing. Okay.
He had a 16-12 game. That's not terrible.
DeAndre is bad. Jordan, I put in my article. Yeah,
15-17 game against Utah.
I put in my article that I might prefer a potted plant on defense than DeAndre Jordan.
Okay. He had an 8-9, a 6-8 game. He had a 2-game stretch.
Yeah, only dunks.
Hold on, Tony. He had a 2-game stretch where he shot 83% from the field, had 15.5 points, and 14.5 rebounds per game with 3.5 assists.
He will not do anything that compromises his ability to grab a rebound. If that means stepping 2 feet from the basket, he will not do it.
Okay. So it should be a fun day for Aaron Holiday if he's the kind of
Sabonis destroyed him the first time these two teams.
I do remember Sabonis did destroy him.
Sabonis just wrecked his shit because Sabonis can, you know, move.
Weird, irrelevant question, but is DeAndre Jordan a Hall of Famer?
The Basketball Hall of Fame is definitely the easiest of all the professionals.
He's like, he had a 5 year for LA where he was probably the best center in the league or one of them.
Yeah, he made like all defensive teams many times, right?
Yeah,
two-time all defense, two-time rebounding champ, three-time all NBA.
Yeah, so probably all NBA a bunch.
Decent resume, only one-time All Star. I don't think he is.
Yeah, he has literally been contributing for so many years. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he was a baller for that. I don't think he is, but yeah, he was a baller for a while there.
Yeah,
and that year, 71% shooting with 14 rebounds a game, and I think he was all defense that year. Man. He was good for the Lob City teams for a while. Now he's not.
Yeah.
He's too old. Let's move on to the Magic, who are much more interesting to me.
Well, hold on. We have to do X Factors and then score. We get burned through it real fast. Give me X Factor real fast.
All right, McConnell, if he plays, because him playing better against a crappy bench will be great.
Okay, I'll say Sabonis if he plays, because he'll just be able to destroy DeAndre Jordan that we've talked about for the last 5 minutes. Yeah.
By the way, Adam, you predicted a win against Oklahoma City, and I did not. So good for you. We both predicted losses in both the Milwaukee and Houston games. So
are we now even on the year?
I need to put a calculation on the side so we can see. because I don't have that.
Okay, well, we'll do that after.
We'll talk about it next week.
Well, I say we both agree they're going to beat Brooklyn, I think.
Yes, I did not. We did not predict that before the season, but now we know the Nets are not as good as we thought, and the Pacers
yeah, can
are
I, can
a little
I,
better
I,
than we thought.
Can I revise that?
No, we both have loss here. It's less likely than.
I think we really overestimated Brooklyn, just to be
honest. I totally did.
I thought they would be like decent. I mean, no, they're going to be great, but decent.
They're fine. They're like close to 500, but yeah.
Are they a playoff team, though? Probably not.
No, they might make the eighth seed because the Magic, who we're about to talk about, are not playing as good as I thought either.
All right, so the Pacers take, what, 4 days off and play the Magic? So that's
huge break, and they're at home for the next couple games. They'll get to Indy and just chillax before this Orlando game. Orlando's defense is the only thing keeping them from just being horrible this year. They cannot score the ball. They're 29th in offense. They're 6th in defense. They're 30th in pace. So they're pretty boring to watch if you're not a Magic fan. But, yeah, Jonathan Isaac is nursing an ankle injury right now. He'll probably be back because this game's like a week away. It's crazy.
So they're one of, I think, like they're probably 7 teams in the NBA that have a positive point differential, and they only have that because they are the best defense. And
their defense is very good. And when they win, they just smoke teams. Look at their bars on the thing.
Well, yeah, but then their offense is literally the second worst. I mean, that's
their offense is atrocious. Their shooting percentage is the lowest in the league. Their 3-point percentage is still below 30. And we saw in that first half, the first time these two teams played, like, they're kind of due, if that makes sense. Like, they made a bunch and looked pretty competent, and then that just all went away.
Yeah, I think they scored 60 points in the first half. Remember, right?
Yeah, they looked pretty solid as an offensive team in that first half, and that all went away. And, like, Vooch can't make his outside shots. That's really hurting them. Aaron Gordon obviously just can't. They just don't have any creators. Their leading assist guy is DJ Augustine at 4.5 per game. They're kind of reliant on a little too much self-creation.
Yeah, I think –
and Terrence Ross finally didn't explode. He did in the first half, and then it slowed down so much.
If we're assuming two of the four day-to-day guys of, like, Sabonis, McConnell, Brogdon, and Lamb, two of them play in this game, I think the Pacers should be still able to win.
Yeah. I did get the Pacers number last year, but I do not think they
would. I don't think Sabonis is going to be out by this point. If he might
miss. No way. He's just got a sore hip. He'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, they might slide the line for just because they're like, we don't want you to be injured or whatnot. I mean, that's fair.
But I have no doubt he will be back.
It does feel like him and McConnell will play, and I don't know about Lamb and Brogdon. I just don't know enough.
Right. Yeah, I can get a read on Lamb's injury or Brogdon. Brogdon wasn't even at the game. That was weird.
I wonder if it's because they were like one. It was man comfortable to sit up during the game. They're just like just sitting.
Yeah,
I don't know. Which, I mean, that's the case. That's also kind of bad. But that's
enough. Yeah. Right.
Or maybe they have a treatment.
Like, Michael Carter-Williams and Markelle Fultz are playing a decent amount for this team. Like, yeah, Fultz has been better than I thought. He's, like, actually a decent enough contributor. Like, Michael Carter-Williams kind of sucks. Dude,
it's the revenge or the battle of the rookie of the year of 2014 or 15. I forget what year that was.
Brogdon was battling Embiid.
No.
Yes, you have the years
of I have a year off. Fuck. You're right.
A year off here.
You are right. I am.
Michael Carter Williams battled with Vic, man. Wow.
Was that? Okay, yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
So excited. I was so excited. Whatever. We'll do it when they play the Sixers.
Yeah, you got it. But yeah, Embiid definitely should have won that. Anyway, yeah, they just don't have a lot of. If Terrence Ross isn't doing what he did last year to the Pacers, and he did in the first half and then stopped shooting in the second half, only in 12 points. They just don't have enough bench scoring to me. And I know I keep harping on benches from other teams, but like that was a big focus for me for a while because the Pacers bench was bad. Now the Pacers bench, when people are healthy, is okay. And the Magic starters are okay. I think they all played pretty well in that first performance. But they just can't mix and match well enough to get enough shot creation on the floor. Like, again, DJ Augustine is their leading assist guy. That just isn't going to work.
Yeah, they feel like the team – like the Suns this year, right? Where if they just had a competent point guard, the whole thing might just flow.
He was their big creator last year. He averaged more assists, but they got way more out of Vooch, Fournier, and Gordon, who were all closer to four than they are last year.
Also, to bank on Augustine having two great years in a row.
He always alternates years. Isn't that like his thing?
Yeah, it's like – I mean, I'm going to pull up his career stats, but I remember that, like, that was the thing. He always did well in his contract year. So let's see. He goes like 14 points then – 11, then 4, then 13 one year, then 9, then 7, 7, 10. Okay, maybe just contract year he does well on, but
it's mostly his shooting that fluctuates so much.
Yeah, what's his like 3-point percentage?
It mainly 25.8 this year, brutal.
41 year, then 33.3 the next, and 40 again, then 35, then 40 again. Then he had two good years of 40.
The Pacers are all too familiar. He was the starting point guard for 5 games that one year.
Yes, that's because that was a George Hill year, though. He just got hurt. That was a George Hill year. That was their best team. It was their 12, 13 team. That was like that amazing team.
DJ, he was good for that
team. He ended up starting a playoff game.
Yeah, he was on the all rookie team. How bad was the 2008 draft class?
I don't know. Can you name any player off? I can't remember. Off my head.
No. Wasn't that the Derrick Rose draft, right?
Yeah,
I'm looking. I can remember.
Yes, you're right. It was a Derrick Rose draft.
Yeah, that's an okay draft class. Russ, Caleb, Gallo, Eric Gordon.
I just wonder if a lot of the guys didn't step up their first year. That's why.
Yeah, fair enough. George Hill.
Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, back to the Magic.
Eric Gordon. Yeah,
I think there's a reason their offense hasn't been very good. They just don't have enough guys who can create off the bounce, and it's really coming back to haunt them. You know, they got to the playoffs last year because their defense was just ridiculous for the last 25 games of the season. And their defense has been really good at six, but like it has to be like first level of ridiculous for them to have enough transition game for me for them to stay in games, and they just haven't had it this year.
I mean, they're probably still a playoff team. Just
they're probably close. They're 5-7. They're looking a little better over their last four. I mean, they just beat the snot out of the Sixers.
If you look at the top eight, I mean, the top six are not surprising. The same six that were there last year, yep. Except the Heat replaced somebody. Who did the Heat replace? Heat hopped in. That's right. So the five of the top six were there last year. The Heat were an obvious team to make the playoffs because of Butler. So then, I mean.
And Nets drop a little bit. There you go. Done.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it was last year, right? Who was the sixth?
The Pistons were the team that we haven't said yet, but they just destroyed.
Last year, there was the top five, and the six, seven, eight were a drop-off. Yep. This year, the top six because Miami's really good.
I think there's probably a tier between the top five and then the Pacers and then another tier between the rest of the teams. I think they're kind of
I think that's to do though with the Pacers are not healthy.
Yeah, I know.
I think, just given
what we've seen so far.
Well, we see on a Brogdon, put that out to Oladipo and then Sabonis, there's a chance that those are really good combination of players.
We keep diverging from the Magic because they're pretty boring to talk about. It's not a super intriguing basketball team. They're kind of a fun experiment. What if we got a bunch of players who are good at a lot of stuff that isn't creating shots and put them on the same team? You get through Orlando Magic, where a lot of stuff has to go your way to be really good. So we'll see. I think the Pacers should win this one, though. I mean, all they have to do is play their game on defense. It's not even about disrupting any one guy. It's just staying home and not making too many mistakes.
Well, having that many days off should be helpful.
Right? The Magic can beat the Sixers. Back to what I said, their defense was so good last year that they could get in transition. The Sixers turned the ball over a skillion times a game. That lets the Magic actually get in transition and have some good offense. So keep your turnovers down and stay on your man. I think you can beat the Magic pretty easily for the Pacers.
So who's your butcher real fast?
Their only good player, Nikola Vucevic. I guess Aaron Gordon's okay, but Vucevic.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon I think could be a butcher.
Vuce is awesome. I think Vuce is so good, and he can go off any game. He can make shots from anyone on the floor. He's an okay defender. Just think he's really good. 12 rebounds a game this year.
Yeah, 28% from three, though.
Yeah, it's brutal. He was so good at those last – well, not so good. He was competent enough at those last year that he was an inside-out guy. That's kind of faded.
Yeah, I mean, he was 37% from three last year, 36.5%. Yeah. Okay, X Factor.
Tony Warren Jr.
The
wing defense. I mean, he was good the first time. He was not good. He was fine the first time these two teams played.
What were his stats the first time? I don't remember now.
I don't have him off the top of my head.
I'll pull them up.
So needy, man.
I'll pull them up. It's fine.
This one I should have had up. All right. If you're listening and you're mad I don't have the link up this time, yes, I should have had the first. He had a whopping 19 points.
Okay.
Second highest on the team.
But he had a pretty efficient game, not a 16.
Yeah, he did. He did. Doug had a big game, too. They just don't have wing defense on the Magic.
Yeah, that would be what I think.
Return to my original point that they do not have wing defense.
I think Doug might be the expert just because the bench. Isn't their bench? Their bench is pretty crappy.
They don't have creators off the bench at all.
Well, you know, the team overall is
magic. I like a lot of their players individually. It's just together the talent just isn't right to me.
I know he didn't do great last time. I mean, he did okay, but should we mention the possible butcher that could happen? His name is rhymes with Aaron's Oss.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. Yeah, he was awesome in the first half. He made his first four shots and then just kind of stopped shooting. So. Yeah, who knows? He's their best bench player by far.
He could be the killer again. We'll see, though.
Yeah, it could return at any time. I don't know how it happens. Someone replied to me during that game and said, Terrence Ross's highlight tape every year is just against the Pacers. I was like, yeah, no kidding.
That's how I get himself paid, right?
Yeah, the Pacers could just sign him and win two more games a year, right? Then they don't have – because he won't just beat them.
Same thing with Tobias Harris. That one where he beat him six times.
Well, Tobias this year has not been super good, but we'll see.
No, but he'll still score 38 spaces.
Yeah. We know it'll happen. All right, I got nothing else today. We talked a lot.
No, I'm tapped out. I mean, we did a lot of Pacers stuff.
These injuries are brutal. Hopefully this week they'll finally get through it.
Yeah, I guess all they can do is the schedule this week, because obviously.
Hectic with the days off.
So Tuesday, I'll be bringing you a recap of the Nets game. I've been doing a lot of the recaps. I'm a big fan of those, so that'll be the usual. And then so Wednesday, we'll do another mailbag. Answered like probably 10 questions last week. We'll send that back out, I'm sure.
We got a lot of questions, and I want to encourage asking questions, but I think we're at the point of listenership where we cannot do everybody anymore.
Yeah, here's what I would say.
It's hard.
I would like people, if they're going to just do one question. I get people who send two or three in.
Yeah.
Just do one. Yeah, I mean, just because we want to be able to fit as many people as possible when you ask three, it boxes people off. And we'll try to do more mailbags this year so that you can, like, ask, you know, I know people.
They're fun. It's fun to know what people are thinking about, all that.
Yeah. Stuff. And so we'll do it more often and stuff like that, just so you can ask more questions. I might just do some randomly, like I did that last Wednesday and whatnot. So that will be Wednesday's show. Thursday, Tony will have a guest who we will announce that later on. He's got a couple people in mind. And then Friday, he'll have a magic preview for the weekend. And then we'll be back into it to a new week, and it'll be Thanksgiving week. So that'll be fun.
Woo. All right. It's going to be fun. I'm glad they have time off, and I'm glad I have time off. So woohoo, selfish Tony. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you, of course, tomorrow. Oh, I forget where this